Who is the real Jesus? It'll get brighter here in a minute. Who is the real Jesus? We're talking about, you know, a lot of people struggle with the idea of Jesus actually being what Christianity says he is, okay? They're not sure what to think. Who is Jesus? Does God even exist? A lot of people ask that question. Does God even exist? Even people, now the interesting thing that you'll find is that many people who become atheists actually were brought up in a church. And they keep praying, and it seems like God doesn't answer. It seems like God doesn't hear. And they eventually, or sometimes, they get angry with God because a parent dies or a child dies or something that seems unfair, and they say, God didn't take care of things the way I wanted it to happen. And so their way of hurting God is by making him not exist. I talk with people all the time who say, I don't believe in God. Why don't you believe in God? Well, because of what God didn't do for me. I don't think he really exists. So there's a lot of people that really struggle with the idea of a real Jesus. And so we're going to take a look at that. How do you know if Jesus was real? And one of the things you can do is you can look into history, but we're not going to look into history as much as what the Bible says today, because the Bible will substantiate itself. And this is why we have, see, people say, well, how do you know if you can believe the scriptures? You just believe them blindly without thinking? That's what most people think. You just believe them blindly. And there were just a bunch of guys that wrote it, and they didn't, you know. How do you know if it's true or not? And part of the thing that makes a difference in Christianity, if you want somebody to be a Christian, one, they have to have the experience of having God answer prayer for them. That's one thing, your own personal experience. Two, prophecy. When you see prophecy in the scripture come true, you say, whoa, this is more than just human. God is in charge of this. And there's a number of other things that come into play as well, but those are the two main things that will make a difference in somebody's life who is on the verge of either being a non-believer or somebody who's never been a believer. So we're going to take a look at some of the things that makes a difference, because the life of Jesus Christ has influenced our world more than any other life ever lived. Okay? Even more than Muhammad, even though there's lots of Muslims out there. Okay? But Jesus has influenced more in every way. Sometimes negatively. Sometimes I have people come and say, well, you know, there's been more killing and more wars fought in the name of religion than anything else. Is that true? It's unfortunately, it is true. Religious people can be the most dangerous people to be around. Okay? But we're not going to do that. We're not going to be dangerous, okay? So let's take a look at some of the things. Popular ideas about Jesus. One, he's a myth and he really never existed. Okay, that one's kind of tough because you can look in history books and find that there was actually a Jesus. But there's some people who still believe that he never existed. Others say he was a nice Jewish teacher. And that's all he did. Others say he was a godly man. He was a prophet. As a matter of fact, a large chunk of the world believe that, because that's Islamic teaching, that he was a prophet. They don't believe he was God. They believe he was just a prophet, okay? Others say we can't even know. Some say he's just the savior of the world. And others, I want to add all the options in here. This is the smallest group, probably. They believe he's not only the savior of the world, but he's the creator. He's the Savior, he's the Lord, and the coming King. I like that one the best, don't you? So, what do you do? How do you find out about God? Okay, where do you go to find out about God? Okay, you can look in a number of different places. Okay, popular movies. Can you learn a lot about God in popular movies? I remember watching a few movies, and I said, oh, man, this is like so far from the scriptures. And some of them are a little closer. I remember watching, what was that one about Moses with Charlton Heston a long time ago? Ten Commandments. This was before I was a Christian. And so we watched it again, and my boys said, well, something's wrong here. Moses didn't know his parents in the movie, but in the Bible, he knows his parents up until he's about 12 or something like that. And so movies can give you a little bit of an idea, but some movies depict Christianity very negatively. As a matter of fact, most movies, when you have a priest or you have a pastor or you have anybody who is a believer in the movie, they're always depicted as what? As crooked. They're always corrupt or crooked in one way or another. I haven't seen a lot of them, unless they're specifically made by Christians, that do the other. So popular movies are not the best place to find out about the real Jesus. How about theological scholars? Have you guys looked into what theological scholars teach? Even theological scholars from Christian seminaries. I was reading one about, he's talking about demythologizing Christianity. Do you know what that means? This is a scholar. Take all the myths out of Christianity, like the resurrection. That's a myth. Nobody can be resurrected. How about all the miracles of Jesus? Well, that's a myth. Just take all that out. And these are Christian scholars. Christian leaders in some of Protestant world. So theological scholars, some of them will be good, but a lot of them won't be. So you can't trust them. You don't know which ones are good and bad, okay? So that's not a great spot. How about godly relatives? You think they'll give you a good depiction of who Jesus really is? I know a couple relatives that when their kids don't do the right thing, they say, you're going to burn. Is that biblical? Maybe. They usually say, you're going to burn forever. And that's a whole different story. You know, the bottom line is, godly relatives might be godly, but they don't always have an accurate picture of Jesus. Okay? So that's not the best spot to go. How about your favorite preacher? Now, I might not even be your favorite preacher. Maybe there were some better ones that went before me. I don't know. Maybe there's some better ones that beside me. I hope there is. Can you trust the preacher? Maybe. I like that. That's a good answer. That means preachers are not all crooked. You can trust the preacher sometimes, but what do you have to do to make sure the preacher's on the money? You got to double check. You got to test the preacher. You actually have to test prophets as well, but you test the preacher especially by what the Bible says, okay? That's where we come to the most important place. If you want to find the real Jesus, where's the best place to go? To the Bible, okay? I mean, this is not rocket science. This is real basic, but some of us, we say, oh, this is really, you know, elementary, Pastor, but for some of you, this is important to understand. Even if it might be elementary, because you are witnessing to people who are totally non-Christian at all. How do you witness to them? Okay? So one of the things that you can do is you look in the scriptures to find out, is Jesus real? For people who think Jesus is not real, what can you tell them? And I even meet people in our church that they're still wondering, is Jesus real? You know, Pastor, I've prayed, and Pastor, I've done this, and Pastor, I've done that, and I've heard the same thing all my life, but I'm not sure. I know what some of the Bible teaches, but I don't know Jesus personally, so maybe he's not real. Okay? So what does the Bible teach about Jesus? One thing it says, and we're going to look at the scriptures, even though we're not going to open them. You won't have to open them here. These are not all from the same version, but says, these are the scriptures that testify about me. So where do you go if you want to find testimony about Jesus? Go to the scriptures. The scriptures are saying, if you're going to find Jesus, you got to go to the scriptures. So they're actually saying, the scriptures are saying, the scriptures is where you're supposed to look. Okay? So let's take a look at some prophecies, because prophecies are pretty impressive. You know, if you're a non-believer, and you look at prophecies that come to pass, you say, whoa. I mean, if you go to a psychic, I hope you don't, but if you go to a psychic and the psychic says, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, the telephone's going to ring, and it's going to be President Trump. And you go home, and you look at the clock. See, now we got a clock you can see. You look at the clock, and 3 o'clock comes, and before 3:01 happens, the phone rings, and there's President Trump. What would you think about that psychic? You go, whoa. Something happening here, okay? Now, I don't know if psychics do that. There might be some. But we're not going to psychics. We're going to the scriptures, okay? Now, see, the thing is about psychics, they can be right some of the time. But to be a true biblical prophet, you have to be right what? Every time. Absolutely every time, okay? So there, in the Old Testament, there's over 125 prophecies about Jesus, okay? Prophecies about the first coming, prophecies about what he's going to do, prophecies about the second coming. So his life was written beforehand. I mean, there's a whole list of things. Now, there's a couple mathematicians that like to calculate odds, okay? And we're looking at 125 prophecies. What's the odds of having 125 come true? Well, let's just look at what's the odds of having 8 come true. So a mathematician, astronomer, Peter Stoner, he was trying to figure this out, okay? So he calculated just having 8 come true. And this is the number he came up with. Now, how many here know numbers? Anybody know numbers? I was trying to figure this one out. Let's see, if you look, what you do is you look at all the circles here. Oh, I guess I can do it this way. Okay, so that's thousands, millions, billions, trillions, quadrillions, quintillions, sextillions, septillions, nonillions. Wait, sextillions, septillions, octillions, nonillions, decillions. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Okay, see, that's when I was a kid, I used to be a little scientist. So this is one decillion. How big is that number? Have you seen a decillion of anything? This is one big number. And this is the odds that somebody is going to fulfill 8 prophecies, okay? Let's take a look at some other odds, okay? How about the chances of one person fulfilling 48, okay? Now, I'm not going to figure the name of this number out. And I think if we get to 125, they won't fit on the screen. Okay? So what are the chances that Jesus would fulfill all these prophecies? Not much. Not much. Unless, of course, he's the real deal. Then there's no chance involved. Okay? So let's look at some of these prophecies. Prophecies, they dealt with his place of birth, the manner of his birth, his betrayal, manner of his death. These are just a few. These are just a few. And let's take a look at some of these, okay? In the Old Testament, we're going to take a look. One, and we'll go through and look at the New Testament first, and then we're going to look at the ones in the Old Testament to see how they fit. So Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Is that what the Bible says? He was born in Bethlehem. But where did his parents live? Ah. How far? Now, have you guys walked? I mean, some of you have done marathons, 25-mile marathons, but you know how many miles is it from Nazareth to Bethlehem? I was looking at it. I think it's about 70 miles, 60, 70 miles. Now, how would you like to do a marathon fully pregnant? See, Sheila can understand what that's all about. So they did it. They took a long trip, and the prophecy still came true. The prophecy still came true. It's a long ways. You know, Israel's not that wide. It's only about 50 or 60 miles wide. So it's a bit longer. So it's not a lot of place, but they could have gone anywhere. So the story's in Luke chapter 2, but in Micah, which was 700 years before Jesus was born, it says Bethlehem, abbreviating here, Bethlehem, out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel. This is just one. Okay, we're going to go through a number of these. I think it'll help us to to realize that the Bible is reliable and Jesus is the real thing. And there's a lot of prophecies that will help us to realize that Jesus indeed is the Messiah that the Bible's talking about, okay? His life was devoted to helping the brokenhearted. Is that true? Is he still doing that? Okay? He healed. He did a number of things. He forgave. He raised the dead. Anybody else raise the dead? Okay. I mean, that would, just the fact that he raised the dead would be one factor that definitely sets him apart. Okay? Isaiah 61, 1 and 2 says, "The Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to comfort all who mourn." So this is covering a number of different things. So Jesus did all of these things when he came. As a matter of fact, John the Baptist was trying to think, is this guy the real thing? So what did he do? He sent his disciples, and his disciples said to Jesus, "Are you the real one?" He says, "Well, watch." So they watched what Jesus did. And they said, "Well, he did this, he did that." They came back to John the Baptist and said, "He did this, this, and this, and this." John the Baptist said, "I read that in the scriptures. This is the real one." Okay? So how do you know if Jesus is the real one? You open the Old Testament. And if you want to learn more about him, you open the New Testament. Okay? He was sold for 30 silver coins, which were thrown down in the temple and used to buy a potter's field. That's in Matthew. Okay? Zechariah 11, 12 and 13. "So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver." It's in there. You can take a look. Okay? And again, it says, and I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. It was even in the house of the Lord. I mean, you'll find one after another, and I'm going to go through a number of these, but I mean, I'm not even just scratching the surface. Just scratching the surface. He was brutally beaten and mocked. Is that true? I mean, you know, some of these pictures kind of give you an idea of what it was like. I'm sure it was way worse than any pictures we have because we like to clean them up. We don't want them to be a little too what they are. The reality of crucifixion. Isaiah 50, verse 6 says, "I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard." Did Jesus have a beard? Apparently so. I think I like that. Beards are a good thing. But Jesus had a beard. Some people say, well, how do we know what Jesus looked like? We don't know what Jesus looked like, but we do know one thing. According to the scripture, he did have a beard. Okay? "I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting." There's another one. Was he mocked? Was he spit on? See, all these things have to come to pass. You can't have one that misses the mark. Okay? He was executed by crucifixion. Now, he could have been killed another way. Somebody could have run through with a sword. Somebody could have strangled him. You know? But he died by crucifixion. So 1,000 years before, it says, "They pierced my hands and my feet." Okay? Now, this picture is actually not accurate, totally. Because if you put the nail through that part of the hand, you wouldn't stay on the cross. They actually put it through the wrist part. But these are pictures that we've seen for so long, we don't think about it. But it does say his hands and his feet were pierced. Okay? Zechariah, chapter 12, 10. "They will look on me whom they had," what? "Whom they pierced." So that's in addition to the hands and the feet. Did that happen in the Bible? Okay. "None of his bones were broken during his crucifixion." Except everybody else that day got their bones broken. But he was left out. John 19, it says, "Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. They just left him there. So, I mean, he had 1 in 3 chance there to mess up the prophecies. Psalms 34:20. He, referring to God, guards all his bones. Not one of them is what? Not one of them is broken. Now see, if you have somebody who's questioning if Jesus is really the Messiah, if Jesus really came, if the Bible is true, you start going through prophecies, they're going to say, this is like one after another. So there's a lot that fit. So who was Jesus according to the Bible? Now we're going to look at the Old and New Testament. Who was Jesus? Okay? He fulfilled some of these prophecies. He was the Messiah according to the Bible. But who was Jesus actually? And we're going to look at some of these texts. I think it's important for us to go through this. Let's start by going to verse 14, which is on the bottom. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So who was the Word? Who became flesh? A little baby, and his name was Jesus, okay? So let's look and see what it says on top here. It says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was who? Jesus. This is what the Bible teaches, who Jesus is. In the beginning was Jesus. Does this say he had a beginning? It says, in the beginning of time, there was Jesus, okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Okay, I thought God was one. Let's think about this. The Word was with God, and the Word was God all at the same time. So you got one God and more than one person. Isn't that true? Three persons, but they're all one God. You don't have one God. You know, some people were thinking, well, Jesus really is... There's only one God, and sometimes he comes as the Father, sometimes he comes as the Son, sometimes he comes as the Holy Spirit, but that's not biblical. The Bible teaches that Jesus and the Father, as a matter of fact, when Jesus prayed, who did he pray to? Well, but if there was only one God, why wasn't he just praying to himself? That doesn't fit what the Scriptures teach. So Jesus was praying to the Father, even though he and the Father were... Two persons, one God? Ah, that makes more sense. We're going to look a little more at this. But this is important to understand. This is important to understand. So it says, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him. How many? All things. Okay, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And then it tells you who the Word is. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So how many things were made without Jesus? So when you look at those programs on the TV and they show these galaxies, they show a picture of galaxies out there where they have, you know how big a galaxy is? Some of those numbers were getting closer to how many, you know, how big a galaxy is. And you look at some of those pictures and they don't have just 10 galaxies. Nor 100 galaxies, nor 1,000 galaxies, nor 1,000,000, nor 1,000,000,000. They've got trillions of galaxies, and he made every single star and planet in all of that? Is that what the Bible says? I believe it. See, this is, you say, well, who is this Messiah? He's bigger than just the Messiah. He's God himself. He made everything. That's what the Scriptures teach. And you look in the Old Testament, Isaiah 9:6. We're going to look at this carefully because this helps you understand a little bit about who this Messiah is. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Who is this referring to? This is referring to Jesus. Have you heard the song before? The Messiah? Okay. And his name shall be called Wonderful. I think I've gone over this before. And his name's called Wonderful. That's a good name. His name's called Counselor. Do you know anybody else in the Bible with the name of a counselor? The Holy Spirit. Is Jesus and the Holy Spirit, why would they have the same name? They are one. The Bible doesn't say, I and the Holy Spirit are one, but it could have and been accurate. So his name is called Counselor. And notice the next name. He is the mighty God. This little child who created every planet and star that you can even look at through a telescope, ones you can't even see because our telescopes aren't good enough yet. He's the God who created them. The mighty God. Notice the next name they give to this little guy. Why would they call Jesus the Everlasting Father? Similar reason why he's called the Counselor.
The Father of
the universe. That's true. He and the Father are what? Are one. Not two. Then he's also called the Prince of Peace. Now notice, we'll take a look at this text. It says, I and my Father are one. Now is this just talking about they both have the same goal? You know, Karen and I have become one, even though we don't look alike. But how one are we? Yeah, we're on the same page most of the time. We disagree once in a while. Is that true, Karen?
No.
It says, I and my Father are one. Is this just talking about their attitudes? Look carefully, okay? Let's keep reading. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Now, they were going to stone him for saying, I and my Father are one. So they understood this a little differently than just they were, you know, we're all on the same page. So if you look at the next text, it says, many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? Which one do you want to stone me for? And they said, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. This is how you find out what blasphemy means in the Bible. Because you are a blasphemer. Because you, being a man, make yourself what? God. See, when you say, I and my Father are one, you're not just saying we're on the same page. You're saying we are one in the same. One God. Manifested in three persons. That's why when you baptize somebody in the New Testament, it says you baptize them in the name of what? The Father, and that's it? The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's because all of them are God. Okay? So I and my Father are one means Jesus is saying, I am God. When you've seen me, you have seen who? Okay? So now, see, we're getting an idea. Who is this? Who is the real Jesus? Who is this guy? Okay? I don't say that disrespectfully. But most people will say, well, who's Jesus? They don't think of him respectfully until they start to understand what the scriptures teach about him. They say, whoa, he's a lot more than just a nice fella. He's a lot more than even just a prophet. The Bible says in Colossians, it says, by him all things were created. There we go again. He made everything. Things in the heaven, all those pictures of those galaxies. Things on earth, visible and invisible, all things were created by him and for him. These are all incredible texts when you think about it. They're just words, but when you really think about what that means, that this guy, or Jesus, this baby, created everything. And we're starting to even see part of what everything is all about. We haven't even gotten to the end of the universe. It's incredible. It says, the virgin will be with child. And who is this speaking? Do you know? This is an angel speaking to who? This is actually to Joseph. Okay? It says, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. When you see Jesus, you are looking into the face of God. That's really what you're looking into. That's him. So who is the real Jesus? Who is the real Jesus? Jesus, I mean, I'm just giving some of it because we're just talking about it. We're talking about him being the Messiah. He was the Messiah, okay? But Jesus Christ was God in human form. We can't imagine that, but that's what it was. That's why he could say to Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus would just, you know, he'd pop up and, yes, sir, and out he'd come. I mean, I can't do that. If I could raise the dead, I'd put some of you out of business. A lot of you out of business. But Jesus is going to do that one day. Jesus Christ was God in human form. He is the creator, the savior, the high priest, and he's a soon coming king. He's everything. He's everything. And he says, I stand at the door and knock. Okay, now he knocks through who? Remember, he is one with the Holy Spirit. They both, not only on the same page, but they are one, and they're manifested in three different people. Okay? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Why does he knock? Does he just want to be God and have lots of planets around? He's knocking on each one of your heart. Thank you. He's knocking on your heart. He wants to come into your heart. And so Jesus is still the problem solver. Does anybody need any problem solved? Anybody? Nobody? Okay. Ah, there's one. Okay. I heard a me. Jesus is still a miracle worker. Anybody need a miracle? How about for relatives? Are relatives the most needy of miracles? Maybe the neighbors. Maybe it's you that need the miracle. Jesus is not only the creator, but he is the one who recreates each one of us, okay? He's a miracle worker. And he still forgives. Anybody need forgiveness? This is the blessing, that God does forgive. Even me, okay? And the Bible says we should cast all our care upon him, for he does what? He cares for us. Now, if he can create, what's the big number? A Googleplex? You know how many numbers that is? That's a zeros that go all the way around the world more than once. If he can create that many stars, and that's not to count all the stars with the planets, you know, once you get a star, you've got planets to go with that, and you can have a couple worlds, you can have a lot of beings, there could be an awful lot out there that we're not aware of. But casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you, is he able to care for one person on this earth when there could be large numbers, way bigger than the numbers we're even talking about, of beings and things to take care of out there in the universe? Could he do that? There's only one that can do that, and that's God himself. That's God himself. He wants us to come to him. Now, this is for my response, okay? It says, the message was clear to me. How many feel like this message was clear? Who is Jesus? Okay? B, I believe Bible prophecy shows that Jesus is more than just a human. How many believe that? And I'm not even going late enough. I should be preaching another 20 minutes here. I didn't even start on the prophecies, and there's a lot there. So he's more than just human. C, I would like Jesus to untangle some problems in my life. How many would like to have that happen? I know I would. And D, please pray that I will get to know Jesus better. How many would like that? I think everybody would like that. I know I would. Okay, now we got some questions. Was there a good chance that the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus would be fulfilled? When I think about this, this is a trick question. Was there a good chance? It was literally impossible. Literally impossible when you look at the numbers. But it came true because what? Because God is God. And he can make every prophecy come true. As a matter of fact, he did. Okay? So there was a horrible chance of those Old Testament prophecies about Jesus coming true, but they all were, every last one of them. Number two, list two prophecies about Jesus written hundreds of years before he was born. Can you name any of the ones that we talked about? Bethlehem? Any others? What was that? Crucified? Okay, crucified. Born of a virgin. Any others? I'm sorry? Pierced? Okay. There's a lot of them, huh? Okay. Good, you guys were listening. That's important. Number three, list two books in the... Now, this is an easy one. List two books in the Bible that tell the story of Jesus' life on earth. I can think of four. Anybody? Do you know them? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay. Well, I guess you guys got an A-plus on that. Number four, does the Bible teach that Jesus is God? Does the Old Testament teach that? The Messiah is. Does the New Testament teach that? Absolutely. Okay, so if you're a real believer, Jesus can't just be a nice guy. He can't just be a prophet. He has to be God himself. And there's a lot of Christianity that doesn't believe that Jesus is God. So how do you know which part of Christianity you should be affiliated with? You open the scriptures and do your homework. Double check. You should be part of a church that believes that Jesus is indeed God himself. Okay? And number five, what does the name Emmanuel mean? God with us. God is with us. Why don't we close with prayer? Now, this is important, and this is basic stuff, but we need to go over this more than once. We need to know some of these prophecies, because when people come and ask us, they might not ask us which day is the Sabbath or what happens when you die. They might ask us, do you really think God actually exists? Do you think Jesus really is the Messiah? And knowing some of these prophecies and where they're found, you can show people and say, look, prophecy after prophecy came true. This is impossible. It can't just be by chance. As a matter of fact, you can show them the numbers on the chance and try to figure out how to say them. So this is important. This is important for us to understand what the Bible teaches. And this is good for us to go over ourselves, because I don't want to believe in a God that might exist. When I see these prophecies, I say, you know, I went over this and I thought, because this is a sermon I did before, I went over this and I said, this is encouraging me, even just to go over it. Because I'm not worried that Jesus really doesn't exist, or he might not exist, or who knows if he's out there, or if I pray and he doesn't answer my prayer, does that mean he's not listening? It's not what the Bible says. So I'm walking by faith that God is indeed, or I should say Jesus is indeed God himself. Let's close. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Help us to know your word, to read it, to study it, to go over it, to review it, to listen to it, to put it on the fridge, everything. Help us to have your word in our minds, so when others come to us, and you know they'll be, that are questioning, does God exist? And is Jesus really who the Bible says he is? Is the Bible true at all? Help us to be able to pull these scriptures out to show others the truth about Jesus, and that they might open that door when he knocks and they might let him into their heart. We just pray, Lord, that you would make each one of us a missionary for you, especially in Hermiston where we live. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.